Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for investors and business owners looking to save on taxes and build long-term wealth with Toby Mathis, an attorney, author, business owner, and a featured instructor at Anderson's Tax and Asset Protection event held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Hey guys, this is Toby Mathis with the Anderson Business Brief. I'll make it easy. Hey, I have Fred Levenger here. Fred, welcome.
Hey Toby, thank you for having me.
Fred is an interesting individual. We'll get into a little bit of Fred, but his company is really, really cool. And it's something called a PEO. We're going to go into all that here in a second. But Fred, let's get to know you a little bit. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Portland, Oregon, in sunny Portland, Oregon. I grew up there all the way through high school. After that, I was fortunate enough to go to college in Hawaii. I did a couple of years there.
That's so not fair. You went to the University of Hawaii on Oahu?
I was actually on the North Shore, even better. And after a couple of years of getting my tan perfected, I ended up finishing up at the University of Oregon. So I am a duck.
Oh, my God. So you went from the North Shore over to, oh, my God.
Yes. From moss to sand to back to moss.
And I have to ask you, if you're in Portland, did you go to Voodoo Donuts?
Oh, all the time.
Not fair. Thank you for that. Will you tell us a little bit about your background? How did you end up at a PEO? And probably more importantly for our folks is, what the heck is a PEO?
So I initially started my career here in Las Vegas working at a startup called YellowPages.com that eventually sold to AT&T. And I was able to stay with them for about 13 to 14 years. They sold that division off to Dex, and I was referred into Insperity and this PEO world. It appealed to me because I've owned three businesses myself in a past life, so I understand how hard it can be to deal with the people part of your business and the compliance while you're trying to turn a profit and do your main job.
I always say you get to work half the time. You just pick which 12 hours of every single day, right?
Yeah, it only takes a half a day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a PEO is an outsourcing firm that provides services to small and medium-sized businesses. So in the wake and the wave outsourcing all over this country, PEOs follow that model, and that we really do just try to come in and help with the people part of the business.
So you're kind of like an outsourced HR. Like I say, hey, I don't want to do my own payroll. I don't want to deal with doing the paid time off and dealing with Family Medical Leave Act. And now we have, during the COVID issues, the Enhanced Family Medical Leave Act, like all these different things. I don't want to deal with that. I want to worry about doing construction. I want to worry about running my business. So I can just give that to you guys?
Yes, for a couple of reasons, but you are correct. We have never talked to a construction person per se that got into the business to fill out paperwork and deal with people. So we come in and we help with that, and we have a myriad of benefits that we bring to the table and reasons why you would want to work with us. But it is, at the end of the day, the buying power of a group and the outsourcing model.
I think that's really important to understand. So I know PEOs, but my listeners probably don't know PEOs. Could you give me like three or four of the top 10,000 foot views? What are the big benefits? If I say, hey, you know what, I want you guys to deal with my HR, and I don't want to deal with it, what are the big benefits that I am getting as the business owner, like in my pocket, or perhaps I'm getting more benefits to my employees?
So the answer is there's a little bit of both to a business. So I'm glad you asked that. The person who comes to us mainly as a business owner has three main concerns, and you've touched on one of them already. One is, I don't want to deal with all the people. I don't want to deal with the people part of this. I just want to run my business. If I can shovel that off to somebody else to do it for me, my efficiencies go up. I get to do what I'm good at. I have more free time, and my company runs better, grows faster, and makes more money. To the employees, typically that buying power, which we can get into, is when you join a group like us, you get the buying power like Costco. We have 100,000 businesses in our group, which means we have amazing buying power for benefits and compliance and things like that.
Go back over that last number, just so they understand how big Insperity is.
We have 100,000 businesses we help take care of.
100,000 businesses, not just employees, but the business.
No, our employees are in the millions. We have 4,000 employees that work for Insperity taking care of all these companies. We're publicly traded on the New York Stock Exchange, and our revenues are knocking on $4 billion, and we are currently in 75 cities.
So you're just like a little company.
We're getting there. We're good. So far, so good is what we say.
And I think that for anybody who's run a small business, if you have less than 10 employees, you pretty much can't get a group health plan. you're going to be looking at an off label or perhaps one of the other exchanges, not even an exchange, but you know, the groups where you're doing the faith-based group that are buying some things like that, but I'm not going to get like a United Healthcare. And so if I go to Insperity, then do I get access to some of the big boys and some of these big plans at the same price that other big companies pay versus what they're going to hit me because I have five employees or two or one?
Yeah, there's some definite benefits there. So the answer is yes to all. We definitely, when you come into our group, you get treated the same as the group. Everybody's treated the same. Speaking of United Healthcare, we are their third largest customer, which means it's Walmart, Coca-Cola, and us. So if you're a small business of 10 or 12 or 20 employees, you're going to get the pricing of a Fortune 50 company. You're going to be coming to the group. You're going to get that not only with your health insurance benefits, you're also going to get that with your workers' comp.
That's a big one. So go over that a little bit. So I'm a little guy. I start up and I start doing payroll. I've always heard about this withholding stuff, right? You always got to do this federal withholding, right? And then I have this old age, death, and survivors. It's a set percentage. Some of these things, whether I'm a huge company or a small company, they're the same. But then there's workman's comp, there's unemployment, there's all this other stuff. And that changes, right? That's based on other factors, isn't it?
Correct. Workers' comp is based on a safety rating or a MOD number, and it is addressed as so much per hundred of payroll. So it's a direct reflection of payroll. And, you know, candidly, the more danger the field is or the worse of the track record, the more you will pay. We have a rule of thumb to where we start. Any company we vet that comes on to become a client, we automatically reduce their current workers' comp 10%. And from there, we interview them and look at options, and we can reduce farther than that, which represents a small savings to our customer.
Yeah, this is what's interesting. So again, I say I've had experience with PEOs. I've actually used them. And what I've found is that in many cases, including mine, the cost of the PEO, in other words, you guys aren't a nonprofit, you got to make a little money on this, but the cost was offset. And sometimes we actually came out ahead by the savings of using the group plan as opposed to what we could buy. So if we were going to pay $500 per employee extra, like for benefits, health benefits, the cost for workman's comp and things like that, it would offset the cost of the PEO by getting that number down to like 400, for example. And then whatever the PEO is charging was eaten up with that savings, and it took a headache away from me. Is that still the case? Like, is that still what happens?
That is currently the case. You are correct. We do use our buying power and our strength to create offsets. Offsets help us make the cost of doing business significantly more tolerable. In some cases, we do end up with a net savings to the client. In other cases, we come in at a small investment. It just depends on each person where they are at in their current situation. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I'll tell you is the offsets continue over a period of time. So to give you an idea, and I think most business people out there that do carry health insurance know this, every year they get a new rate. And typically, there you go. Typically, it's higher.
It's like 13 or 14% for the small businesses out there.
Okay. So if that's the case, our 10-year compounded annual increase for our insurance is 3.65%. So even if we are showing as a small investment and not a savings on year one, we definitely represent significant deltas going forward as those numbers change between our renewal rates and the market renewal rates. We will always beat the street.
Again, this is the part. So like if you're a small employer and you have a handful of employees, it's expensive to get. You may not even be able to get the group plan. And that's the problem, is that if you can't get the group plan, if you're not over 10, it's almost impossible to get a group plan nowadays. I don't even know if you can. Now I can go to and combine with a group. And so it's basically like my folks are basically employed by you guys. Is that what happens?
To a degree, but not really. That's one of the big misconceptions about a PEO. We come in and we partner with you from an administrative standpoint only. So there are times that the employees will be on our FEIN, so it's a legal construct by which we can bring them into our group and offer them all our benefits. But the owners maintain full direction and control of the company. We simply come in to offer the administrative relief.
Well, I'm thinking of this from a legal standpoint. What if that employee sues me? What if I let somebody, this is a real life story. I had a financial planner, and he had a reception. He had a downturn in business. He started working in another state. He and his wife were moving. And as he downsized his office, he let a gal go who happened to have just gotten pregnant. and he didn't know, or if he did know, it was immaterial, but she sued him for discrimination in California, and it ended up costing him about $400,000. Who's liable under those situations?
We would be the liable party. So wow. One thing we do is that you've touched already on the two main reasons someone would consider a PEO. One is the high volatility and healthcare costs, you know, to stabilize that. The other is employee liability.
And so you guys assume that. I imagine that someone just can't fire somebody. Do they have to go through you guys to release, or how does it work?
They can, actually. They maintain direction and control of their company. They just need to notify us, and we will assist them with the offboarding. We take care of the COBRA management, all the compliance. We make sure things are done legally. We offer all the appropriate human resource support and counseling and documentation to keep everything, you know, safe and compliant as you onboard and offboard employees.
Brad, that's pretty big. Like for the little guys that get that, like if you're in California, like you guys work in California.
So we're in all 50 states, and we have associations and friends that will take care of people in other countries.
Oh, wait, you could do other countries too?
Yeah, through our friends. We have an international PEO. So, for example, we have a software company with 40 employees. 35 of them are in the United States. A handful are in the Philippines. A couple are in China. And we take care of everybody in the United States. And our friends and our associates in the international PEO take care of the rest of them.
What's the magic number? Like, I'm assuming that if I'm just a one-person company, I may not be looking at this because I'm not worried about me necessarily. But
yeah.
What's the sweet spot for a PEO?
So for us, we like to stay with groups between 5 and 5,000. So if you have five, if you're in a five-person company, you fit our model well. We will make exceptions down to 3 employees if we know they're in growth mode.
So if you're somebody that you're thinking in 2 or 3 years, that's going to be 10 people.
Even 5 or 7. If we know you're going to get there, we'd love to help you.
All right. Here's the burning question then. What does this type of stuff usually cost? Is it super pricey to where I'm going to be like, I may as well hire somebody, or what is it going to be?
Typically, it comes in less than the cost of hiring somebody, of course. The quality is significantly higher. Our pricing, we've worked very hard, and I can't speak to the other PEOs, but for us, we work very hard at our transparency to the point where we show you to the penny what everything costs, and we even disclose our markup, because as you said, we are for profit, but if we're going to come in and partner for you, we're going to open up our books to you. So we work this we reflect our fees as a service percentage of payroll, or also known as a payroll fringe. We're usually either a 1-2% savings or a 1-3% cost the first year, depending on how the financials line up. What we would do is interview a customer, see if they're interested, go through a full vetting process where they will get the full financial debriefing, and then we can talk about if they want to become a client or not.
So if I had payroll per year of, let's say, $1 million, you're telling me that I would get all the payroll benefits, that you guys would handle that for somewhere from a negative amount where you're actually making money versus maybe paying up to $30,000 a year to have you handle all my employees?
Yeah, and of course, it's a case-by-case basis, but that would be a good general rule of thumb. It also depends on your current benefits because, again, we do those offsets. So it depends how your benefit offering it is, how rich.
You might be making more, but the actual cost to the customer. So like if I'm comparing apples to apples, if I have to do all the HR, I'm not doing other things. So there's a cost. So if I'm construction, I've got 5 employees and I'm spending 10 hours a week dealing with HR stuff, which isn't ridiculous. I'm having to do everybody's paycheck. I'm having to do their hours. I have to be read up on all the laws. I got to have my little posters and all that stuff, right? I got to run the benefits. I got to deal with all the different moving pieces, and I have to deal with my accountant. So there's a cost to that. I'm just no longer going to have to do all that stuff for the most part, right? Do you guys even do the hours, or do I have to track all the hours of my people and tell you what they are?
No, we've been fortunate enough that we have a very good software system for time and attendance. And everything we offer is available through a web-based portal that can be on their phones and also on their laptops. So people can punch in and out. And we can even do job costing for the construction trades. And we even work with some unions.
All right, Fred. I think you and I are going to be talking because it's payroll isn't annoying. Like I could just tell you from a company that has a few hundred employees or less than a few hundred, you know, we're between 200 and 300. I have 2 full-time people. And you wouldn't want to get rid of people. You just want to enable the company to be more efficient so that as they grow that I say that gingerly, right? You have a big company, if you have 100 employees or more, you're still going to have an HR person in-house, right?
Sure. We just want to give them the support and tools that they can grow. Toby, our company vision statement and mission statement is we help businesses succeed so communities prosper. Because we know that when your clients succeed, the schools are better, the streets are better, crime goes down. We want to help everybody win together. And if we can come in and help with the people part of the business and keep you safe and compliant and give you some efficiencies, we'd love to. And then on the health benefits, if we can give you those Fortune 50 health benefits that allow you to attract and retain top talent, you're going to win.
Yeah, it's huge. Even as a medium-sized employer, I can tell you, I've literally lost people to the casinos because the casinos have a better benefits program that we just can't touch because we're not huge. You know, you got 10,000 employees, you get some buying power to force some things, right? You guys have millions. Do you even know how many millions?
Last count, I would guess maybe three million.
3 million. Yes. I think that would be some power. That'd be some buying power.
Yeah.
I won't hold you to it.
Oh, yeah.
But you're a capitalist. Come on. So you're not just all, hey, we want to save the world. We have to be very focused. I'm going to ask you a capitalist question. How long do your clients stay with you then? If you're adding a value to them, do you have a nice long retention of these people sticking with you year after year?
The average client stays with us 6.8 years. That number is not arbitrary. We do have about a 80 to 85% renewal rate year over year. Even though we have month-to-month contracts, they do renew year over year. We lose some to M&A. We lose some to venture capitalists. And frankly, we help some people succeed where they can bring on their own HR team or they absorb into another company.
Yeah, and there's this attrition. Come on. Businesses, at least 10% of businesses fail each year. I think the last time I checked, it was like 15%. So like you're going to have natural attrition. So you're not losing people. If you have 6.8, you're keeping people.
Yeah. Just a couple quick facts. The average PEO customer receives a 79% reduction in cost over time. They reduce turnover 10 to 14% of their staff, and they're 50% less likely to go out of business. That's from the National Association of PEOs.
That last one, 50% less likely to go out of business? Yeah, it's devastating lawsuits that sometimes take you out. It's you're getting stretched too thin that takes you out. It's being non-competitive with your benefits that take you out. And all of a sudden you can't compete as you're growing and you're losing good people and your business is your people. So why not take care of your people? Now I get it 100%. I'm just kind of shocked at some of the numbers that you said. That's pretty flipping amazing. It doesn't surprise me that you guys are as big as you are. Obviously you can't tell me any names, right, of any big players, but
we have NDAs with all our clients. However, when we vet prospects, as part of the process, as we get closer, we will introduce them to our clients. We'll make the arrangements for them to call them and interview them. And we do have social events where our prospects, our clients, and our referral sources get together. And we do fun things where they can rub shoulders and get to know them. So we do have some transparency, but we do have to honor our NDAs as well.
Do you have names that they would have heard every day? Like, are you got some big players?
Yes, we do have some large national firms.
All right. That's what we like to hear. It's like this is a good size. All right, Fred, you've been more than generous with your time. Any final thoughts for folks out there, especially the ones that are like, I kind of like this Fred guy?
Well, we're able to service anybody who's interested. We're able to take care of all 50 states. My office does service the state of Nevada, but we also handle all 50 states as well. If there's anything we could do to help you right now, we know times are interesting and changing. Our job is to be a helpmate to you, whether you're a client or not. If there's something we could do to help you and it's within our means, we'd love to help you. So just reach out. We'd love to support your organization. I've gotten to know Toby for a while now, and we're like-minded. And if we philosophically agree, we should be able to help each other. So thank you so much, Toby.
You're right. His office is maybe 3 blocks away from our downtown Summerlin office. You're in the parking lot of the Golden Knights, right? That beautiful building right there across from the Red Rock Casino.
Yes. Go Knights.
Go Knights. Yeah. We have some people that are Caps fans. I'll tell you that when they were in the finals, I never got harassed so much. I didn't realize how many people watch hockey, but yeah, I got razzed a little bit. And it was sad, the Knights. Oh, boy. But that was not nearly as painful as San Jose last year. So.
Oh, yeah.
I'll put up your contact information, but if you want to give them a phone number or something, if anybody's interested to reach out to you.
Can I just forward that to you? I have a team of salespeople.
I'll link it up so that we don't kill you. Yeah. We'll put something on our website too. And I'm just going to say this. Look, I've worked with PEOs in the past. It should be a value added and it should be something you can calculate. And if anybody knows me, I say calculate, calculate, calculate. Look at it and see what it works for you on a dollar side. And then Fred, if I'm reading you right, there's going to be a time savings for people because they're no longer responsible for doing all this HR compliance stuff. Like,
correct.
You guys have the handbook and everything. Are you guys going to do everything for them?
Everything with the people part. I will tell you the vetting process is somewhat thorough. So, you know, you have to have a degree of interest to, we have to vet you potentially to join our group. So we'd be happy to help with all that, but we do go through a lengthy vetting process. It can take anywhere from 4 weeks to 8 weeks to become a client.
Well, it sounds like it'd be worth it if you get through the vetting process and a business can really benefit. And I'm just thinking again of all those small businesses that are in that no man's land of less than 10, more than 3. There, you're literally in a situation where you're no longer the small mom and pop, but you're not the big player either. And the benefits, you're just underserved. And now it sounds like that's a solution. If you're more than 10, you should be pricing it out to see whether you can avoid having to hire a full-time person, or if you have a full-time person, you get them a partner to work with. And if nothing else, you take the liability off your back. In this day and age, I don't even know how to put a dollar on that, just because I've seen it so often now where people, you know, you look at them wrong and you release them. And the next thing you know, they come out with 20 allegations of what you were doing to them before you let them go. It's nice to not have to worry about those things. I'll just say that as an aside. Fred, is there anything else you want to throw out there?
No, we just love to help our local communities and our communities nationwide. I agree with you completely, Toby. Everybody, do your due diligence and do what makes best for your company. And just please succeed, because that's how our country was built. So yep. Just thank you for all your entrepreneurism and your hard work.
Yeah, perfect. Well, I have a feeling that some people will be calling you. I hope to be able to work with you closely as we continue to develop this relationship and bring your services to our folks. They understand exactly what these things are and what their options are. Because a lot of people don't even realize that there's PEOs out there that could do this. And it sounds like you're the biggest with the mostest. So I'd love to see what kind of benefits that people can get if they meet you. So thanks for your time, Fred. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Toby. I sure appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast. And if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.